Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Thursday, the 22nd of May, 2025. I don't know if you spotted the deliberate mistake yesterday. Apparently, one of my members did point out I said 2026. I don't know why I have such problems with the date and the day and putting it all together. It's like, it's not the most complicated thing. Do you know what? I've just been out for a walk with a dog, a little cockapoo called Lola. And towards the end of the walk, she rushed towards something, grabbed it. I said, what the heck is that? And she grabs a little mouse or rat, I think it was. She's shaking it around in her mouth. I was trying to get it out of her mouth and just hitting it on the head. I never hit my dog, ever. Well, not hitting her, but tapping her in the head. Stop, drop, 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 drop. She wouldn't let it drop. I thought she was going to swallow this. It's like a little thing. It's like a meal. Drop, drop, drop. I said, drop it, drop it. But and then she got in the car afterwards. She didn't eat it. She just left it dead. Felt sorry for a little. I think it was a little field mouse, I think. Felt sorry for it. Then I got in the car and she sat in the seat next to me, licking her lips. Oh, it's awful, isn't it? Do you know what? I felt a bit rough this morning. I had two beers last night. We were watching Tottenham and Man United because my son, my youngest son, is a fan of Tottenham because his grandfather is. My wife's father-in-law. And four of his friends in the house, one of my older son's friends, a friend of my wife. Just so loud, you know. And now my wife had a few drinks too much because she's quite enthusiastic about Tottenham, and she promised to go to the victory parade because Tottenham won 1-0, and she forgot about that this morning, and she had two more days left of the week. Mont, he said, no, one, we go on the victory parade, Tottenham, 3 p.m. Friday. Good luck trying to get out of that. I can't think of anything worse. Going to a victory parade, just standing there, thousands of people shouting at a bus. Why do you want to do that? Just watch it on TV, it's better. Anyway, listen, before I start, I read a lot of broker notes. And I've got to say, they vary in degrees of quality, of depth, of presentation. And so I've got to say, I've got a big shout out to, I think, the best broker notes I read, by far, sort of thing. And this is, like I said, it gives you, what I hate is when a broker note comes out and they give you adjusted figures all the time. I don't mind adjusted figures as long as you also show the reported figures, because that's what actually are the true figures. Is it adjusted here and there? Adjusted, it's a manipulation of the figures. And of course, adjusted figures are always more flattering than reported figures. So if you're going to, you know, print adjusted figures brokers, if it are any brokers listen to this, please, please show the reported figure and the adjusted figure. It would help a lot. But I say very good for doing this, for showing both, are Cavendish. And they are listed, CAV. I have no affiliation with them. I don't hold stock in the company, or I don't know anyone from Cavendish. But also quite good is Canaccord Genuity and Panama Liberum. And Zeus tend to show both figures. So if you are, anyone listening, because I know the old broker doesn't listen to this, please, I know it'll probably fall on deaf ears, but please always show reported and adjusted. Singer, you could do better, okay? Always just show adjusted, not reported. Okay, let's look at some macro news. Tax rise warning. after higher than expected UK borrowing. So borrowing, the difference between, of course, spending and tax income. I mean, let's be honest, it's a bit more complicated as a government to manage your financial affairs. But essentially, it's like a household, isn't it? All the income you bring in and all the bills you spend going out, you've got to make sure the bills are less than the income. But the difference between spending and tax income was 20.2 billion in April, up 1 billion from the same month last year. It's the fourth highest April figure since monthly records began in 1993, and analysts said it could mean Rachel Reeves will struggle to meet her self-imposed rules on spending and borrowing. She can't raise taxes. Full stop. You can't raise taxes. You must see the most, you know, dynamic economies in the world are the countries that not only have a lower tax regime, but also lower energy bills, which we need to sort out. But you start taxing people, they just start fleeing. You've seen that with business taxes, national insurance. It doesn't work. You can't tax away to prosperity. It doesn't work. You've got to find another way. Just use AI. All government departments, use AI. I don't know what the biggest spending department is, but they've got to find a way. It's probably the NHS, is it? I don't know. You can't raise taxes again. It's going to kill the economy. It really is. PMI figures, another macro news. UK business downturn eases despite worsening factory woes. So a downturn for British firms eased in May despite a darkening picture for manufacturers who cut jobs at one of the fastest rates since the global financial crisis almost 20 years ago. 20 years ago? Wow. Of course it is. Readings below 50 denote a contraction in business activity. Now, obviously, the services sector, there's two sectors, manufacturing and services. The services sector make up around about 81-82% of our economy. So that's the dominant sector. So above 50 denotes expansion, below that contraction. So manufacturing, first and foremost, the PMI was 45.1. Now, this is down from 45.4. And forecasts were for 46.2. So it came in 45.1. That's a massive miss. And that is worrying, isn't it? We have a manufacturing recession going on. Similar happened to America, actually. The Americans manufacturing contracting. Services sector fared a bit better. 50.2 was the reading for May. Better than forecast at 50 and above 49 previously. But the composite, which is these two together, is 49.4, so below 50. Of course, manufacturing dragging it down. And it is an improvement of 48.5 last time round. And just a bit of a beat on 49.3, which was forecast, came in 49.4. But it's a real problem manufacturing in this country, isn't there? Let's look at the markets quickly. I say quickly. I try and do quickly. I never do. Let's have a look here. Oh, do you know what? I include another company in the news today. I forgot. Let's start off with the FTSE 100. Down 0.8%, 8718. The S&P 500 is flat pretty much, 58.43. It's rolling over. It had this bounce back, when was it? In 21. December 21, the death cross happened. That's the 50-day moving average crossing down of the 200-day moving average. The share price of the index rallied again, way above 200-day moving average, then rolled over. We're starting to see that rollover now. We've got a lower high. The recent high was at 21st of Feb, 61.32. And now this high was 59.58. So this is looking like it's a lower high. And like I said, the death cross is not a good sign. Let's back to the UK. FTSE 250 down 0.7%. FTSE small cap down 0.4%, and I assume AIM is down. It's faring the least worse. It's down just 0.15% there, and this is up 18% from the low, which was on the 7th of April. Commodities, Brent crude down 1% pretty much, $64.36 a barrel. Bitcoin, all-time high. Ring that bell. I did buy a little more Bitcoin. Do you know why? The Golden Cross is happening. That means the 50-day moving average crossing up over the 200-day moving average. And whenever I've looked at this previously happening, it's done very well. In fact, it's rallied quite strongly recently. Of course, this is down to government debt, probably in America. The big, beautiful bill that Trump is trying to push through that will tank the economy. what else we got? Of course, Bitcoin is not a commodity. I'll put it in these commodities. Gold is down just 0.75%. It'll be in a range for a while now, I think. The recent high, of course, was 3,425 and now at 3,288. But I think this will be in a range, maybe support around about 3,170 or 3,200 maybe. And it'll go along that way for a while. But I can see a bigger rally happening in this. Maybe it's a bit of a crowded trade, though. Copper. It's down, half of 1%, 10,255. Anything else? Oh, government bonds. Let's look at the 30-year yield today in the UK hit a recent high. But anyway, the two-year, the yield is 4.045. Of course, this is how much the government will have to pay on their debt, pretty much, for two-year bonds. 10-year, 4.76. By the way, 2 years down. 0.8% day. 10-year is up 0.25%, 4.7. And the 30-year is at 5.55. Now, the day it did hit 5.6. It's just come off that a little bit. And that was, in fact, it's a multi-year. If you go back, it recently hit that in 9th of April. But going back, oh, let's look. I can't see in the chart here. I've gone back too far, have I? Oh, no, the chart doesn't make up, but it is a high. This is like when Liz Truss, had that mini budget, spiked up to that and came back down. But a pound will buy you €1.19. Ooh, it's up to €1.19 now, a pound. And, of course, dollar is 1.34. That's looking like it's going to rally harder. That's at a recent high. That was a high there on the 26th of September, 2024. And we're at that high now. Maybe a good time to go to America for a holiday. Anything else there? No, it's pretty much it, isn't it, on the markets. Okay, some micro-cap news. Let's start off with, I can't believe the lack of reaction on this. Maybe it's some people are selling, are worrying about it. But first of all, let me get the database on my website here. So sharepickers.com. By all means, become a member. You can see the database. Lots of information in there. There's several hundred companies. I only started the database on the website about 2 months ago. It's about close to 200 companies on there now, all microcaps. They are color-coded into green, amber, or red. If they're in green, they're eligible for the microcap league. If they score highly enough, well, they're eligible, but they've got to be displayed in top 30. They've got to score highly enough. On all the metrics, 15 metrics. If they're amber, they're in recovery or potential. That means they could be becoming profitable for the first time or recovering from a downturn in growth and value, all that stuff. And if they're red, they're not eligible for any list. Suboptimal, really. But in the Hall of Fame watch list, which I've mentioned before, this is companies that have gone bigger than 100 million market cap, is Beeks Financial. Cloud, BKS. They announced last night, and I thought, well, why is this odd? And it turns out they had to announce it last night because it's with the ASX exchange, the Australian Stock Exchange, because they have to announce it in the morning, before morning time. They've secured this, planting the flag in Australia, the broker says. Beeks Financial Cloud, they've signed a significant multi-year exchange cloud contract with the Australian Securities Exchange, the 11th largest stock exchange globally. So now contracts with New Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ, what else there? Mexican Exchange, Johannesburg Exchange. They're slowly filling up all those exchanges, aren't they? And the share price it shot up today about 7, 8%. And now it's at, about half of 1%. Which is ridiculous. Well, let's be honest. Beeks, this is my comments on Beeks, okay? First of all, they delivered, for the year, they delivered 22% revenue growth, underlying profit before tax up 37%. And this company fundamentally has done very well for the last 5-6 years. They've done compound annual growth around about 32% over the last 5 years in revenue. They started becoming free cash flow positive and profitable in the last year, and cash levels are going up. But they're not cheap. And it is a reason for this. You know, I just think most companies I look at on the market, I don't believe they are exceptional. Well, they can't be by law of averages. Most companies are that I invest in are, I hope to be, good or great. They follow those categories because they're growing, they're doing quite well, nice margins, etc. Very few companies are exceptional. That's beyond just the metrics. It means, does this company have some kind of moat that's globally relevant? I talk about this in the book. I do believe Beeks is one of those companies. Now, it's hard to pin that down because, like I said, in fact, on the webinar last night, I said there are lots of investors out there who have all their money in one stock and believe that to be the one. And it's probably tanking and sitting on a massive loss. But they've convinced themselves it's groundbreaking technology. Now, if it is, eventually, you know, the investment will pay off. But if it's a pre-revenue stock, that's hard to judge. It's highly loss-making because how I validate technology that's very good is via growth. If you have a superior product or service, then that will become in increasing demand year on year. If it's better than any other, you know, peer group, sector, peer out there, then it, you know, the growth will be there. So that validates pretty much, you know, the idea that it's an exceptional company. But without revenue or that, you can't say. It's all in your head, isn't it? You may think a company has superior sort of cancer treatment, for example, but you don't actually know because there's so many cancer companies looking for different cures for cancer in different ways. You don't know. But when you get a company that's signing with some of the biggest stock exchanges in the world, as a small Scottish company, then, and the revenue is growing, you know, double digits the last 5-6 years, it's got something, you know? So it's not cheap. Like I said, the PE is, a forecast PE 30? But it's never going to be cheap. If it's an exceptional company, it's never going to be cheap. So sometimes my rule of thumb when I buy good and great companies looking at low PEs but with growth, don't apply. Now, it's a dangerous concept to apply, saying, okay, this is an exception to the rule. Because you could go too big in it and go crazy, and you could be wrong. You can always be wrong on an investment. But all I have here is, you know, it's not just in my mind that I believe this is an exceptional company. I just believe, you know, the stock exchange it's signing up to, or signing partnerships with, the revenue growth it has, to me, says it's an exceptional, you know, exceptional company. But that's me being biased, of course. Whenever you invest in a stock, of course you are biased. Of course, you're going to have a positive spin on it. You're never going to say, I'm invested in this company. It's crap. Who would do that? You know, you've never, anyone who invests in a company, you're going to be biased. So listen, all I would say, if there's any dips here in Beeks, then do some research. You know, if it doesn't take off and go crazy, just do some research. And I think you'll find, you know, you'll be pleasantly surprised that it's one of those companies I think, you know, over time could do exceptionally well. I mean, it's done very well. I mean, at the moment, that's why the moment is consolidating the price a little bit, because from its significant ahead of expectations results back on the 6th of Feb 2024, it went from 122 up to 320, and now it's back at 213. But I think we are now in a sort of consolidation period where maybe it has to grow into its value a little bit. But I'm saying that sort of resistance 235, maybe support at 185. So, yeah, but do some research on that. Beeks, I think, is it's a different animal, I think. It really is. Like I said, but saying that, I'm biased. Well, I'm repeating myself. Next, Norman Broadbent. All right, Norman. How are you diddling? Norman Broadbent. Does he sound like a man who'd own maybe a gentleman's tailors on the high street back in 1970s? Get yourself down to Norman Broadbent. Get yourself a proper suit, son. A proper fitting suit. But no, Norman Broadbent, NBB, is a professional services firm focused on executive search, senior interim management solutions, and bespoke leadership advisory services working across the UK and internationally. But a market cap of 2.6 million. So it's a big sell there on the old description. But they did come up with an AGM statement. There's no brokerage coverage here. And what is it? Since announcing its record Q1 2024 trading update and full year results on the 2nd of April, the company has continued to perform very well, the trading to date in Q2 being materially ahead of the equivalent period last year. Okay. So what did they do last year? They did to the 31st of the 12th, 2024, revenue was down 11%. Pre-tax loss of 158 grand versus 309k profit, and they've got cash of 123 grand. My comments here are, Norman Broadbent are a nano-cap recruiter. Like I said, 2.5 million. This record sort of performance in Q1 may be the case, and the share price might rise, it has today, due to them only being a sub 3 million market cap. But I feel they are too small to scale materially. And remember, recruiters have quite low margin. Plus, they only had 123k of cash, net cash, at year end. The shares are also very liquid, with average daily volume around about £1,000. That means there's probably a spread, and you may be able to buy some shares, but you may have a bigger problem selling them. There's no broker coverage, there's a forecast, so it's hard to predict what's going on. However, all recruiters have been sold off, some are bouncing, so there's some opportunity in the sector, but I believe there's better options out there than Norman Broadbent. Sorry, Norman. In fact, Staff being one, STAF. Look at their recent news trading update. Next, Robinson. RBN is ticker. Specializes in custom packaging with technical and value-added solutions for food and consumer product hygiene, safety, protection, and convenience. So they've got a market cap of 21 million, enterprise value of 27, so cash of 2.4 at year end, and debt of 8.3. But they do pay a dividend yield of about 4.7. So the results to the full year were 14% top line to 56.4 million, but they did make a loss of 3.8 million before tax. And they had net debt of 5.9, which was a slight improvement on 6.3. The AGM statement says operating profit for 2025 financial year to be ahead of 2024 and in line with current market expectations. So what are those? They're expected to do 59 million of revenue and 2.7 million, so returning to profit, pre-tax profit. What's the comments here? It's a lot easier to read the comments. So on the 27th of March, when they released their results, I said revenue grew by 14%, but they also generated a loss before tax of 3.85 versus a profit of 660K, although free cash flow increased by 168% to 1.97 million versus 734K. This is a recovery story, and for 2025, RBN expect to return to profit with a pre-tax profit of 2.7 million versus this year's loss. This would put them on a PE of 10 at 127 pence per share, but they do have some debt. Improvement is expected to continue in 2026, with PBT increasing by 19% on 2025 to 3.2 million, which is a forecast PE of 8. That's for 20 years at 127 pence per share. Maybe worth watching, see if their trading updates align with the forecast. Brokers raised their target price to 155 from 149 on the 27th of March. It's risen a bit already during 2025, but there's some resistance at 136. Let's have a look at what's happened today. They've come down. They did drop to 120 today, but gone back to 134. So they opened at 134. No, they opened at 127, sorry. Are we in 20? Yeah, they opened at 127. A low of 120, and now 134. There's some resistance there, 136, 137. So maybe worth a look if they are improving. They're going the right direction. RBN's ticker, Robinson's is the name. So they've got a little bit of debt, but they're improving. Here's an interesting one. TheWorks.co.uk is a United Kingdom-based value retailer. You must have seen these in shopping centres. Selling toys and stuff, retailer books, arts, crafts, stationery, toys and games. So they've got a market cap of, let's look at the chart, they may have gone higher here because they have risen. 38 pence the market cap is. What's it on the site? 34 pence, the updates tonight. Yeah, market cap of 20 million, enterprise value of 19. So they've got 1.6 of cash, no debt. Of course, they've got lease liabilities. But half year results, yeah. Well, let's go through this. Let's go to the comments here. Rooks state that they have made significant financial and strategic progress in financial year 25 against a challenging consumer backdrop. Oh, what were these results? These results were a full year trading update, this was. Yeah. So they state they've made significant financial and strategic progress in 25 against a challenging consumer backdrop. I agree. This company has rallied strongly because it almost had been written off. And let's be honest, who can blame investors? This is a company that sells toys. A competitive market with low margins against a very subdued consumer backdrop. Therefore, the company had been heavily sold off. However, when the company's strategic plans looked like they were starting to bear fruit, the company all of a sudden seems very undervalued, rather than a stock to write off. Profit estimates for 2025 have now been upgraded. Revenue for 2025 is expected to be flat, and profit for tax is expected to drop by 35% to 4.5 million, but they're still profitable. But it seems this is as bad as it gets. This puts them on a PE of 6.5 at 34 pence a share. A return to growth expected for 2026, with top line increasing by 3.75% and profit for tax up 24%, and this would put them on a PE of just 6. So from 6.56. So even though it's still cheap, the SP has rallied very strongly. It may need to consolidate, worth watching maybe. But yeah, literally from the low of 17 pence, is now 38 pence. The low was in mid-April, or the start of April. But it's rallied very strongly. And so it'd be nice if it came back a little bit and consolidated. What's next? Let's go back to database. By the way, on my database, for every company, you see, you know, company metrics from share price, target price, upside, market cap, enterprise value, cash, debt, dividend yield, date of next results. Plus, you get summary of full year and half year results. Plus, you get forecast. Plus, you get broker comments. And you get recent news summary. And you get company chart. And you get my comments. That's for every single company I talk about today. Of course, I don't go into that much detail on the podcast. But there we are. Next, Velocity Composites, ticker VEL. They're a supplier of advanced composite material kits to the aerospace market. They got a market cap of 12.8 million, enterprise value 12.15. It's a little bit debt, cash of 1.6. What did they announce today? Oh, a trading update and notice of results today. Yeah. Well, in the trading update, they mentioned that they've experienced delays with its customers in the UK and the US. As a result, the broker says results are 35% below prior expectations, and have reduced the target price to 50 pence from 60. On a positive note, they do have some cash at bank. The 30th of April was 1.2 million. The 30th of April last year was 1.8. For 2025, due to the downgrade, revenues are now expected to be flat, and loss before tax will be 700K, where previously they were break-even. They're expected to achieve growth of 16% for 2026, that's revenue growth, and profit before tax of 300K, which puts them on a PE of 42 at 24 pence a share. Vel are a manufacturing business, which is quite capital intensive, so margins are never going to be big, and they are at the whim of their big customers' timelines. That's the big area, what is it? Boeing and what's the one in Europe? I can't think. So there's no guarantees. These delays are one-offs. They can't do anything about them, essentially. So for me, Vel does not present a compelling investment case. I'd say ignore. What else there? And finally, Water Intelligence. Yes. Intelligent Water. That's a good brand, actually, isn't it? Maybe it's, maybe it's out there, having a drinking water called intelligent water, just brain water. I don't know what you put in it. You put some electrolytes in it. I don't know what you do. Just chuck stuff in it and just, tell people it's good for the brain. Intelligent water. I could IPO that, couldn't I? I'm sure lots of brokers would help me with that. Anyway, so Water Intelligence, a market cap of 68 million, enterprise value of 77, so according to the last sort of results. Now, I've converted these to pounds. Trouble is the conversion changes on a daily basis. I just got an idea. Anyway, cash, 6.9 million, the last set of results, full year results, debt of 15. So for the last set of full year results, they did 7% top line growth and 13% growth of profit before tax to 4.8 from 4.2. But I said, do I have net debt of 8.1, which was, they did have net cash previously, 1.6. They are reacquiring. So what do? They're a multinational provider of precision, minimally invasive leak detection and remediation solutions for both portable and non-portable water. Now, they do have a lot of franchises in the US, and they are reacquiring some of those businesses. And some people question, why would you reacquire franchises if they're not doing well? Sometimes you do need scale. You know, you get these companies to get one franchise, and you need 5, 6, or 7 to really do well. So there's always that. Yeah, what did they come out with today? Oh, Q1. Yeah, Q1 financials. So Waters released 2025 Q1 update, where revenue increased by 4% to 21.3 million, but PBT declined by 6% to $1.9 million versus $2 million. They also said April was strong in terms of revenue, which increased by 8%, 29.1 million versus 26.9, but PBT declined by 2%, 2.17 million. Now, they haven't released their 2024 results yet. Have they? No, they haven't. Still showing 2023 results. But back in February, they published a full-year trading update for 24, saying they are in line with expectations. This shows a 9.5% increase in top line versus 23 and a 46% profit before tax growth. This puts them on a PE of around about 14 at 335 a share, which is okay, but looks better when you look at 2025 forecasts. For 2025, top line is forecast to grow by 16% and profit before tax is expected to increase further by 23%. This would put them on a PE of 11.5. at 335, which was their price. On the chart, the S&P is trading in a big range. Don't like this. In a big range. Normally, I say, ignore a range. Unless you've been paid a dividend, then don't buy in a range. Normally, I say, buy the breakout at the top of the range. But it's a big range. And so that would mean a rise of 36% from the bottom of the range to top of the range and make the company less compelling from a valuation perspective. So I'm not sure what to do here. Worth keeping an eye on, though, as it's had some cracking rallies in the past, and sometimes companies can, you know, revisit these kind of rallies. Maybe not the same scale, but they can revisit them. So if it improves, I mean, I'm not a big fan of their PBT declining. It's only declining a little bit, 2% here, 2% there, 4%. But you question why that's happening. I suppose there's the acquisitions maybe and the costs associated. But who knows? But it's profitable, you know. It can manage its debt. It's not expensive, so maybe worth watching Water Intelligence. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join the SharePickers Investment Club, go to sharepickers.com, click on the About at the top of the page, and you can read a lot more about the SharePickers Investment Club. Thank you. By the way, if you listen to the podcast on a regular basis and think this is okay, a guy rambling on about financials in an odd way, if you give me a top star rating and review, that would help other people find it. And maybe we'll find other people who enjoy a middle-aged bloke rambling about financials of microcap companies. It's a very niche market, that, isn't it? Well, I say it like that, you do realise it's a very niche market. But who knows? Here we are. Thanks for listening. Speaky tomorrow. It's the end of the week again tomorrow. Time is going so quickly. I always remember my father said to me when I was what age did I turn? I turned 26, I think. Yeah, 26. And it sort of hit me, 26. Lola! Oh, she scared me. And I said, I can't believe now, Dad, I'm closer to my 30s than I am to my teens. He said, yes. And you know what? I thought he was going to say something positive. And he said, as you get older, time goes quicker. And I said, oh, thanks for that, Dad. I wasn't feeling very good as it was. Those words of encouragement are not going to help. Anyway, I'm rambling. Speak to you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.